Hello.
Hi. Hello.
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 To episode 51?
51.
51.
That's the count.
We're almost up to my girlfriend's age.
55. We've already made this joke. We can't make the same joke twice. It's not funny. It's
oh, yeah. All right. Scratch that from the record.
But then if you say it like a lot, it becomes an inside joke.
Jeremy's got a very well-rehearsed ad read that he's written down, I'm sure.
Meticulously crafted.
Yeah, as always.
You know me. Ha ha. Prep to the... Yeah.
Haha, Jeremy.
What's up? You guys know me. You know, I always write down everything. This is no exception.
Weren't you just talking about how you didn't write down your notes from last session?
I've got to figure things out. So, in the meantime, why don't you go, while I'm figuring some stuff out, why don't you go play with the sliders over at sirenscape.com? And while you're there, crafting beautiful soundscapes for your players or for personal enjoyment. Or, you know, it's like haunted house season. They have a lot of creepy sounds. You should totally do that.
That's actually, yeah.
So check that out at sirenscape.com. Or if you're looking for something a little bit more epic to get you in the mood for what, I don't know, but in the mood, check out beyondskyrim.org. They're beautiful music is playing in the background as we speak and will be for, I don't know, probably in perpetuity.
Probably
with this
so.
Podcast. If you guys get tired of it, let us know if there's anyone else who wants to score it.
Yeah, score our podcast, you listeners.
Anyways.
What are you looking at me for?
He never scored it. You said you were going to score. Yeah. You totally said you were going to score.
Like the whole thing.
Every episode with unique
music. I don't.
We'll leave that up to interpretation. Okay. Anyway, it's not my turn anymore. I'm done.
Okay. Yeah. Now check out World Anvil and play with the sliders.
Wait. What?
There's not sliders on World Anvil. I'm kidding. It's a joke.
I get it.
You're not hee hee ha ha Jeremy.
Okay. No, I get that Jeremy has the monopoly on jokes in this group.
Only while we're not playing.
I'm about to say, Cyrus is the main jokester of the group.
This is true. Of course, from his perspective, he's totally serious, but that's neither here nor there.
No, puns.
Well, he just likes to inflict some punishment.
Call me Attila the Pun.
But anyways, worldanvil.pxf.io/rollslayers. That is our affiliate link, and you should go check it out and let them know that you came from us by using our affiliate link.
And the most important advertisement of all is for our awesome social media, but the most kingly and awesome of them all is the Discord server, which you should join because it's free to do it and it's funny. Always funny in there.
You get updates. Like, I think we recently told people about how I got a tree branch in the eye. Mm.
First it was your weird toe, now it's your eye.
I know, it's been a... Look, I got scratched on the head as well while doing yard work. Can you see it?
Sorry about that, buddy.
It's been a year.
Check out the Discord for all the John injury updates.
There you go. Yes. Get all of our medical conditions we posted there.
Yes. And our social security.
And you can rate our medical injuries on a scale from it's probably fine to you should probably go to the emergency room.
From the doubt emote that we have and the sonic emote
this
that
is
we
how
have.
This is how we make our medical decisions.
Yes, one John will
even,
just poll people.
Posted their home address there once on accident.
That was me?
Yeah.
I'm extremely friendly.
Send
I'm
Jeremy
kind
of lots
hoping
of
someone would show up.
Fault.
Send him lots of dice that he can use to roll better.
We don't share addresses.
Or just go to his house.
Yeah, just hang out with him.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do that. Yeah, check out our social medias as well, as Rachel said. Check out our Instagram. We do a lot of giveaways. We're about to end one on tomorrow.
Ooh!
Which is really cool. We're giving away a D&D cookbook and some custom dice vaults and stickers and other cool stuff. So,
Well, you says tomorrow, but this probably won't air for a bit.
Not tomorrow, Ben. Tomorrow of recording. Tomorrow for us. It will be over by the time.
Basically tomorrow, 2 weeks ago.
This comes out. Yeah. But we'll be doing more in the future, and you can be a part of those. Am I forgetting anything, you guys? Patreon. Join our Patreon. Support the show because you like us, and we talk good sometimes, and sometimes not. Cool. Let's play D&D.
Let's do.
So, last we left off, the party traveled through not one, but two blockades. One of the Justicars and one of the new military organization of the Kingdom of Alanko, and made their way to the home, the estate of the Langley family, only to find that they had gone away to court, to King Adrian's court. So they made their way further to Oramond, meeting with Adrian Costeau, the now King of Alanko, as well as the mother of Alin, Felice, who informed them that she was subbing in on the war council while Eurydion was off trying to submit the rebel lord Charles Coburn. Listening in on a war council for a little bit and then proceeding down into the nicer now Thrule Circle, Muck Circle, you made your way to the Broken Tusk Pub, where Vinny thought he might be able to find a bit of information on the disappearances happening here in Oramond. Disguising himself as Vern Thistleprow and setting one Franklin upon his shoulder, he made his way in to the establishment, spotting a gentleman, a tabaxi gentleman of kind of this blue-gray fur, these kind of golden eyes, and black garb. Recognizing him, Vinny made his way up to the table where he made eye contact, and the tabaxi gentleman looked up and said, "Can I help you, friend?"
"Yes, hello, old friend. May I sit down?"
Looks a bit puzzled.
"You may sit, but I don't know that I know you."
"Certainly you do, though I may not look the same as you remember me. It's a disguise, Tome."
Are you saying anything that he would recognize you by?
"My voice."
"Oh, you're not disguising your voice at all?"
"At all."
"Oh, okay." You hear a bit of recognition come from him, or you see a bit of recognition on his face as he looks you over.
"Oh, the new threat.
Shh.
He sent me a letter. I just sent it back your way."
"Well, unfortunately, our affairs have carried us all over the Alanko as well as Urengol, and we are now back again. And unfortunately, I was not able to receive your letter."
"You say we, and I remember in your letter you said you are with a band of mercenaries."
"That's true. I have, well, I think there are some apologies in order. I sent them in my letter, but I... Listen, I'm in this disguise because I don't want to draw much attention. However, I...
You're talking about our mutual friend."
"Yes."
"I wouldn't worry."
"What does that mean?"
"Look, I don't hold any ill will for what happened. It is, by the very nature of our organization, one of the tenets that you are free to do what you wish. Those repercussions do not come from any exterior entity other than others within our organization. But he's not overly upset. I've paid my penance."
how did he make you pay that penance?
Just a job.
Listen, what happened? How did you explain it to him?
Well, if you're asking if I was favorable in my description of what happened in your case, not really, but I wasn't unfavorable.
Tome, we've known each other for a long time. And I know that what I did was... it left you in the lurch. And I can't really explain how or why, but I had to leave. I had to leave, and I saw my chance, and I left. And so I just wanted to say sorry, because I know that those repercussions have landed on your shoulders, whereas I seemingly have gotten away without, you know, any ill consequences.
All's forgiven. And while you had to leave, that brings me to the question of why you came back. Why are you here, Vinny?
Well, what do you say about, you know, actually, can we go back? I just have to know, is he mad? Is he?
No. Would you like to talk? I can take you down.
And he's going to try and, I don't know, does he believe what he's saying about...
Make an insight check.
Four.
Four? Seems like he's being fairly forthright with you.
Okay, I don't know if I'm ready for that, but... I did want to make things right with you, and it wasn't my intention to come back to Oremond at this time, but the reason I sent a letter, and I didn't receive your response, have you heard of anything?
You didn't include a question in it. What do you mean, have I heard anything?
About slave trade.
You didn't include any of that in the letter.
Seriously?
Yeah. But you see his face kind of grow puzzled.
Are you looking into that?
Yeah, he said, P.S., have you collected many secrets about the Cartagia family?
Oh, okay.
So, I would just say, do you know anything about the Cartagia family?
No.
Have you had any dealings with them?
I don't have any dealings with anyone.
Well, sure.
That logbook's kept.
I just wasn't sure if you had heard anything. I know that you...
You know we don't use names.
We don't use names, but... I know that you collect information.
What's it about? Is there some sort of smuggling you're tracking down?
Well, there are rumors that the Cartagia family is involved with slave trade. And I have some colleagues who have an interest in that
topic, and so I thought maybe if anyone knew, it might be you.
I'm not certain on anything, but there have been... You really should speak to Makatis on this one. I don't know much, but I know to ask Makatis.
How would he receive me?
Fairly warmly, I'm sure. You know him.
My thoughts of him have been the thing that has kept me away for this long. I fear disappointment.
Are you sure that you didn't know exactly where you were anyway?
I didn't think he would know. I didn't think that it would matter to him.
I don't think it did. But You know him. He's got eyes. Anyway, I don't know any direct knowledge, but there have been strange happenings down below.
Okay.
Maybe that's your Cartagia involvement, or maybe not. I'm not certain.
But I should talk to Lucanus.
Or don't. It's really not up to me. It's the only advice I can give you, though. There's no one else really in town that would have that type of connection. We've muscled out everyone else.
So, can I buy you a round?
Of course. You can buy me several.
Excellent.
He grins. You still
what,
just...
What was the code again? Wasn't it like, I need to buy a drink?
Oh, it was.
Oh.
So Cyrus is going to... Cyrus is outside thinking, hey, that sounds like he legitimately is buying drinks.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to stay out of that one.
What an awful code word.
Yeah. I'm going into a bar.
I mean...
So, anyway, I would say that... the Nuthra would have a few drinks with Tull, and he would, I don't know how long he would pay for those drinks.
Sure.
And then after that, just kind of catching up, he would say,
I need to get back to my friends, but we will be in touch. I think we should be in Oramond for some time. I do have one last question, though.
Sure.
How has things changed since the upheaval?
To put it in Mokadis' words, war is good for business.
And that's about what I assumed. So, from what you understand, do you take work from both sides?
We don't take work for either side.
Take work for money.
We take work for money.
Oh, as I assumed.
There are no legitimate sides here. There are only people with money. But...
You and I both know that.
Anyway, we changed the locks, so let me know if you need to go down.
You stay around here?
You know where I stay. He kind of glances to the back sure. room.
All right. I'll keep in touch.
Stay safe. He goes back to his drinks.
And then Vern Thistlebrow stands up and leaves and goes back to the party.
Gotcha. You see Vern exit the tavern, a small Franklin sitting on his shoulder. And, walks up.
Well, that seemed to go well.
Much better than I had anticipated, that's for certain. I don't know. Maybe I am completely blowing it all out of proportion. Apparently I am, or they're taking me for a ride. I don't know, but I... It's probably best that I just be forthright with you. The man that I was talking to was, his name is Tome of Secrets. And naturally, I thought that he would be a veritable source of seedy information.
Well, with a name like that, you would expect so, but I really don't understand these Tabaxi naming conventions. Not that I've met very many of them, but I really don't understand them.
Right, and... Well, he does like to collect information, I know, and but I suppose that Tome and I, our involvement with Bocatus, which you may remember, we found him behind the work of the assassination attempt on, was it forgive me for forgetting General Tissot's life. Admiral.
How can you forget Admiral
Tissot? Admiral Tissot. He wasn't a general. He was Admiral.
He's not Tissot. An admiral.
No, that's that. That's the chicken guy.
Oh yeah. Well, anyways,
I imagine him looking exactly like Colonel Sanders. By the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Except in I don't know. Anyway, so you remember he was behind all of that. So I also used to do jobs for Mokadas, who I'm not proud of it, and I don't, up to this point, didn't think that it was pertinent information. It would only suit to an, or it would only be incriminating to our party. But after that conversation, I don't know what to make of it, and I don't also don't feel right in keeping that information to myself. And I want you to know that now that I have made my appearance at the Broken Tusk, though not in my appearance.
But your name is floating around, at least.
Well, with Tome, I do trust him, but it's hard to say. He does seem very much sided with Mokadas, so I would... He did not deal with me favorably in the account of how I threw the last mission that I was on. Before I met Vern... Yeah? Remington, this is Vern, an old colleague of ours.
I was wondering, you did seem to have a pretty clear vision of who you were turning into.
Very fond vision of it as well.
What exactly were you afraid of?
Well, if you work for someone as ruthless as Mokadas, and you turn your back on him, I suppose I was afraid of the unknown.
Is that what happened? You turned your back on him?
I did not return after the last mission went belly up. And it was sort of my fault.
Oh, I see.
I suppose I let my... loose lips, right? I tried to grab for too much and they got suspicious. The people we were smuggling from, our cover was blown. We lost the shipment. And so I assumed that if I caused Mokadas a loss in inventory, then it's very likely that he would, I don't know, that would bring some sort of consequence down on my head, right?
But or your family.
Now those fears are assuaged.
And when she says family, like, he just, like, goes flush. Well, I don't know if he does. Probably, like, loses concentration and, like, drops back to Vinny. And you can see there's definitely a look on his face.
That was mine.
Let's hope not. As for information about the Cartagia family, he insisted that I go and speak to Mokadas.
I will go. It's much less dangerous for me to go. He doesn't know you, and if you're revealed in some way, then it could be dangerous.
It'd be no use. They'd never let you in, I would assume. We could try, but I just don't think that it would happen. And I do get a sinking feeling like this is some sort of fate that's asking me to face the thing that I don't want to face. The thing that I was delaying our arrival to Oromon. This is it. I don't know. But, you know, Tome says that it's fine. That he would be receptive of me, that he would be a warm welcome. And
do you believe that?
Well, me and Mokadas, Mokadas and I, we're very... I don't know, he always called me my boy. Or things like that.
Sounds a little patronizing, if you ask me.
Well, but it was in a fatherly way, and it meant something to be recognized or to be embraced by someone of such magnitude. And so, I think he saw something in me. And if he's been keeping track of what I'm able to do now, I might be a very valuable asset to him. And it could be a, you know, quid pro quo situation.
So to sum it all up, you'd need to go see him and owe him something in order to get the information and move forward on our current quest?
Well, that's why I came back, because he did ask if I wanted to go see him, but I'm a little bit nervous. It's scared if I was, to be honest. But then two, I leave that up to us to just, you know, what else should we do?
Do you have any other leads? It seems like that's about it.
It's really the only course left. But I can assure you, Venuthra, we'll protect you. We'll guard your life and we'll guard that of your mother.
All right.
Now, if we want to try the same tactic here with you taking Franklin, let's maybe choose a different code word.
Yeah, that was a little
confusing.
As you said.
I'm gonna be
honest. I said drink a lot, didn't I, in there?
Yeah, yes. You really did.
I could see how that would be a really bad code word for a bar.
What about a word that would be so unusual to hear? I think of this fantastical creature called the octopus. It would be so unusual for such a creature to come up in conversation that its presence in a conversation would be extremely noticeable.
But it's exotic enough, I suppose, that you could maybe throw it in there as an exotic drink that they just simply haven't heard of.
Ooh,
these Alanco
nice.
Rubes, if you will.
Maybe like octopus juice?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or octopus juice.
Or, you know, octopus salad. Some type of food.
What do you think, Bells? Sound appetizing?
Not exactly. But I think that makes it a perfect code word.
I've seen one before. They have about 13 legs, and they have a beak like a bird and a horn. And they mostly just crawl around. That's how they live underwater.
That's interesting.
You said crawl around before underwater. It's a mental picture of what Remington thinks an octopus is. And I prefer that to real life.
Okay, well, so maybe give me some time. I'll go in. I will talk to...
Are you sure that none of us can go with you?
Well, I'm not certain that you can't, but maybe if you just give it a beat and follow me into the establishment a little bit after, so that...
Sure, we'll know where you are, because you'll have Franklin with you, and we can follow at a reasonable distance.
Even though it is a ways to where Mokadi's actually is from this tavern.
I would know that he is... It's not, like, underneath the tavern or connected, or is it... How is it? How do you get there?
Well, so you do need to enter through the tavern, but it is a ways from
here. Okay.
Like, too far for Franklin to...
See? Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what you're trying to say?
I think it would be too far for Franklin to follow me, but what I mean to say is, if before we go to see Mokadas, perhaps if you're just in the bar, then I can motion to you to follow, and I can ask if Tome thinks it would be suitable for you to come with me.
Sounds fine to me.
All right.
That works with me.
I think we can look pretty tough.
Sure.
Excellent. And who was at the front bouncing?
Oh, the bouncer for the for the establishment?
Yeah.
I forget his name. Let me see. Bouncer.
I don't know if you gave us a name or anything. I just...
Is he like some orc or something?
Yeah, he's an orc. I don't think I've named him. But you would know him to be Klorg.
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 Klorg, okay.
Oh, sorry. Klorg's already taken.
Oh.
By one of my NPCs.
Okay, I thought so.
There can be multiple
Klorg. Thorn.
Thorn.
Mm-hmm.
And does he have like family or anything?
He probably has a wife.
Okay.
You don't know much
brothers
about
or sisters.
Okay, cool.
Cousins.
All right. Oh. So,
blood type.
Excellent. Well, Vinny. So Vinny, now not in disguise, will, you know, come out around from the corner where we were speaking and approach Thorn.
Vinny.
Thorn, how are you? How is the wife?
She left.
No, stop. Why? I can't imagine.
Said I'm married to Job.
Well, you are always here. And a welcome comfort for many weary travelers entering this establishment.
I like to fight.
Yes. And you're very good at it. Well, how are you getting on? Are you recovering well?
Is good. Been in Fight Alley a lot. Bouncing, fighting, betting on self.
Making some money?
Yeah.
He smiles and you see a few gold teeth.
Excellent. Well, keep up the good work, old buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And then walks in.
I have several takeaways from this conversation here. First of all, there's a place called Fight Alley. Let's avoid that if we can.
Ally. No, I can probably handle it in there.
Anyway, so he goes and... is Sarah attending the bar?
She is.
Sarah, how are you, dear?
Kind of scratches and rubs a little grease off her face.
Oh, I'm okay. Well, come on in. Come on in, Vinny. Your usual?
Yes, the usual, please.
Okay, it's been a minute. On the house, since it's been a minute, dearie. How you been?
I've been surprisingly very well.
Tome's over in the corner.
Yeah.
Go
is
sit down.
He? Yes, I'll. I may join him.
I'll bring it over.
I appreciate it, Sarah. How much does she know about all the other?
She's complicit.
Sure. Hey, you don't know if. Well, I'm. I may have skipped town without the boss knowing.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Heard anything about that? How was he feeling?
Well, he was right mad, but I think he's over it.
All right. You think you would be okay to see me?
Sure. He'd probably welcome you warmly.
Everyone keeps saying that. Well, thank you, Sarah.
He's a host, you know that.
He really is. Anyway, well, I'll go join Tome. Thank you so much for the drink.
Sure, I'll bring it over. Does this mean you're back?
To be determined.
Just nods and goes and pours you a drink and brings it over to you as you sit down next to Tome.
So you're back.
I'm back.
That was quick.
I guess
your group was outside.
Obviously, yes.
Is that them over there? He glances at the
four people
who shuffled
them
directly after you.
They don't really fit in here, do they?
Cyrus is still talking about Thorne. He's like, did he say his wife left him because he's married to his job? He's a bouncer.
Anyway.
He must take it so seriously. I guess if he were to work 18 hours a day or something like that.
I don't know, Tome. Give me your first impressions. What do you think of them? I know you know that you can tell who they are.
What do you mean, what do I think of them?
Just down the line. Give me your first impressions.
Points at bells. Probably crazy.
points at Cyrus. Just know, points at Alin. So much shiny armor. Points at Remy. He looks all right.
Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Well, so I know it's a ways before between here and well, you know. And I was wondering if we go to see him.
Uh-huh.
What do you think? Can they come along? Should I go alone?
Well, they're the ones with questions about this Cartagia business, yeah?
Well, that is true. It is true.
Probably
certainly not
to have them along.
Well, if you think that it would be okay, then absolutely. You don't think that he would take it as some sort of affront, some sort of competition, or?
I don't know. You're gonna have to see if you can get past the hobgoblins with him.
All we can do is try.
Aldrin's in a nasty mood as of late.
Is something happen?
I don't know. You know how moody they can get.
Certainly.
But Plorg is quite happy right now.
Well, I'll appeal to Clorg's sentiments. Right, well, yes, let's do it.
Okay. Hey, he just yells at you guys from across the room.
Hello.
Vinny waves him on. Come on.
Nope. It's our cue. We have to look like professionals.
I look like
a
professional.
Okay, and
it's time.
Have you seen these robes? Straightening the pointy hat.
Bells are kind of just trying to make her, like, all of her ridiculous amount of weapons, like, more obvious, because she thinks that's what it means to be professional, is have too many weapons.
Just be like a porcupine almost.
So like, many sharp points. Just kind of weird. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be awkward getting through.
So.
Did you say that to us or to him?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Okay. Probably to himself.
Okay. I'm Tome of Secrets.
This is Tome.
Nice to meet you.
Introduce themselves.
You. What's your name?
I'm Bells.
Bells. Okay.
What this here is Cyrus.
Cyrus Grimalkin.
You?
Aletheia Langley.
Okay. That's
Remy.
Okay.
Remy's going to try something. He's going to say, Remington Northerly Topsford, and then flip him a card between his two fingers. Try to look cool.
He reaches out very slowly, gingerly, and then, like, very quickly snatches it from your grasp and flips it between his two fingers. Takes a look at it. Okay. That's interesting.
Anyway... so these are my new friends.
Mm-hmm. I've gathered. Not many rules down below. That's it. Yeah, there's not many rules. There's no rules. So, with that in mind, why don't we get going?
The only rule is this place rules. Am I right?
I don't think so.
And he gets out of the booth and leads you into a back room. Where the kitchen is, and pulls over a counterpiece, and there's a trapdoor underneath that he flips up and climbs down. The rest of you may follow downward into this tunnel. It looks to be kind of this old mine shaft that's supported by heavy beams running roughly east-west. You start to walk for about 10 minutes... eventually the scenery kind of shifting to what looks to be like a carved tunnel of stone that someone's kind of just Shawshank Redemptioned their way through pieces of it for another 15 minutes or so.
Just to be clear on the reference, we are not crawling through sewage.
No. But you will be as you enter a sewer system.
I shouldn't have said anything
for just a bit. and it kind of empties out into this pit that you have to gingerly walk across on this board that leads to a abandoned cemetery mausoleum. It seems like it's just kind of this tunnel has supplemented other underground passages and has kind of made its way through the length of the city by connecting to other passages and hijacking it, eventually coming to another carved tunnel with two massive iron double doors that are set into the rock itself. You're not even sure how those doors fit down here, but they're there. Tome, after that kind of silent walk, says, okay, we're here. Any questions before we go in?
How should we act?
What do you mean?
Just, like, casual?
It would probably be best just to be yourself.
Yes, everyone's accepted as they are.
Okay, perfect.
We'll see.
That will require the least amount of effort anyways. Wonderful.
Okay. As you approach the door, two figures kind of come out of alcoves dressed in heavy plate armor. Deep red kind of furry skin, black hair kind of tied back. One of them has it worn down almost to his like his belly button. These hobgoblins with these kind of flat noses pop out. One of them speaks up.
Tome, you've brought friends this time.
Glorg, Uldren.
Glorg looks at you. Or Uldren looks at you. And Glorg says,
hey, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, it's been good. It's good to see both of your faces again.
What are they doing here?
There's some new associates.
Hello. My name is Cyrus Grimalkin.
An unassuming bunch, but it's served us very well to this point.
I'll go ask. Uldren will stay here.
And Clorid will put a large, ornate key into the door. And you hear thunk, thunk, thunk. Multiple lock systems turning. And it pulls open and he just side shuffles inside and closes it behind him. Uldren just stares at all of you. Doesn't say a word. About 5 minutes go by and he comes back out.
Can I do detect thoughts at not the deep, deep level, but just detect thoughts on
the base level?
On the base level for Uldren.
Sure. You hear kind of thoughts like, what's he doing?
Brothers, I don't like this. Stupid brother, letting them in.
Stuff like that.
Okay.
But he comes back out and says, he'll see you. I don't know what voice that was. He'll see you.
Excellent. Thank you.
They open the door for you, just one of them, and you spy this large interior of stone built kind of in a vaulted ceiling sort of fashion, bricks that they've laid into a common room, as you might call it, with tables. It looks like there's a bar in the back. There are booths and corners where you can drink. You see that someone is getting a tattoo in one corner, several doors kind of off to the sides and in the back.
What does getting a tattoo look like?
It's basically like a stick and poke, but with a little teeny mallet.
Cool.
Nice.
But there are several folks just carousing and talking of various races and states of dress. Some are dressed, a little more fancy. Some are dressed, for seedy work. Some of them are dressed in just commoner's garb. And in the middle is standing this quite tall, quite large, slightly overweight blue dragonborn with very fine, gaudy attire. It looks like to be like a kind of like a silk shirt of gold fringing and kind of green velvet pants. And he catches you on the doorway in and says,
"Vinny the Peas. Come in, Mokadis. Miss. Mokadis. Welcome, all of you. Come, come. I'm Mokadis Tazavur."
And he kind of does a little teeny tiny bow.
"At your service."
"I heard you're a great host, Mokadis."
"Yes, yes. I was about to have an early dinner. Would you like to accompany me?"
"It would bring us no greater pleasure."
"Sure, sure. Well, as we're walking through, I'll give introductions of some of my associates. Welcome to the pardoning, by the way. Excuse my manners."
And he's going to start leading you through the vaulted chamber and pointing out random people as he goes. He says, "Of course, you've met Clorg and Aldrin and Tome. Tom's our barkeep." And he like motions at a kind of lean, gaunt, creepy man in the back. That's Mary and Lou. And you see a woman with red hair of short stature playing chess with a very old man. Horvir, Calder, Fip, the group. And he just points out people as he's walking. And he, without breaking stride, walks to the back door and opens it and says, "Come, come, let's go to my apartments." And he'll lead you back through into a large study room. Still those same like kind of clay bricks that they've, it seems they've built this themselves. Leads you off onto an adjoining dining room where there's some food. You know, not anything super fancy or fine, but good hearty food. He says,
"So sit, sit."
And he kind of sighs and leans back into a large leather-wrapped chair.
"So, welcome to the pardoning. I'm not sure if Tome gave you the rules."
"He did. And there are none."
"That's right. In the pardoning, you are free to do whatever you want. You are pardoned of all deeds, miscreant and not. What brings you here? What brings you back, Venuthra?"
"Yes. First, to address the proverbial elephant in the room, I offer my sincerest apologies."
"Is not a problem."
"Is it?"
"You are free to do exactly what you want to in that moment. I encourage it here. But I am free to ask a favor of you in return."
"And I..."
"As recompense."
I believe within reason. You know, I put the safety of my friends, though they be hardy adventurers, I put their safety as priority. But we may be willing to do this favor. Certainly I am."
"You've changed. You didn't put Tome's safety at the forefront of your mind."
That's a fair assessment.
"Keep in mind, he is in the company now of women and the elderly."
"Yes, it is a strange group that's gathered here. I am curious.
Are you talking about Remington? He's not really that old."
She's talking about you, Cyrus.
"You are wonderfully oblivious, my friend."
"And Miss Vern, we were about the same age."
"Was he the tall fellow?"
Yes.
"So you've been keeping tabs on me?"
"Oh, yes."
"I suspected as much."
"You're awfully well informed, Mr. Mokadis."
"I am. I take pride in my web of informants."
Let's just lay all of the cards... Start choking on a piece of the beef here. Let's just lay all of our cards on the table."
"I'd rather not."
"Well, I'll be forthright with you, as you've welcomed me into your home. We seek information about the Cartagia family. I don't know if you've had any dealings with them, but my associates here have reason to believe that they are... I don't know. How would you put it to Lynn?
Involved in the slave trade.
Interesting. Interesting.
If you're wondering how, and she begins and she, you know, it's her markings are visible. She's a member of the upper gentry. So if you're wondering how such word reached my ear, it was shown to me in a vision. The careful keep of the Cartagias prevented this news from seeping out in any other way. I'm quite certain they've got this under lock and key and have guarded it well. However, you can, and then she holds up her finger, you cannot defy the will of the gods. It was Bahamut himself who revealed this piece of information to me. Now I have to follow the only thread. I have to go down to the under, I have to speak with whoever I can to uproot that which has been revealed to me.
Well, I believe you. Visions from the gods should be taken quite seriously. I also believe you because I work with the Cartagias.
And we all have a hearty laugh.
Well, we found our lead, didn't we?
We laugh not to cry.
So what is your intent with these slave operations? I'm not sure I've done any work in that vein, but I believe it.
My charge is to bring them to justice. As much as I would like to slay Linus Cartagia with my own hands, that's not for me to do. What is my charge is to expose the Cartagia family's crime and see that they're all brought to justice.
Yeah. A tough nut to crack. But you have every right to do so. And we'll give you any information I can.
I suppose we're now just looking at, are there any accounts that are, you know, unaccounted for? Are there any times, you know, you've been meeting and you've overheard them whispering something to someone else? Is there a meeting spot that they have? And how can we find, you know, records and bring them before the law?
He has an intermediary I work with here who provides shipments that I smuggle. Might speak to her.
All right. I'd appreciate this, you know, her contact.
Sure.
I have to ask the obvious of this uprooting, if possible, have adverse effects on your business?
I actually want to cut in and say that should the Cartagia family be uprooted and their wealth displaced, as part of the council, that's since I will be the chief prosecutor, I will be the chief, I will be part of deciding what happens, likely, I would allocate, you know, part of their wealth. It would actually go to you instead of into anyone in the Cartagia family. We would use what we've seized from them to kind of pay you back for your handing them over.
That's most kind, Sir Langley. It's always nice when the knights and the pardoning can work together to come to a satisfactory conclusion.
And has that happened in the past?
He doesn't answer. He just looks at you like, are you stupid? Like an inside cat.
Five.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to answer that question straight up.
So, is there anything else while you're in town, or should we get to the business on recompense?
I suppose I owe you one, of course. And what is it you would require?
But I'm also free to send people after you.
I don't want that. I'm here to face the music, so to speak.
Yes, I think we're all free to do a lot of things, but let's go ahead and put all our cards on the table, if we will.
Sure. Do you have actual cards that you put on the table? What are you doing with your hands?
He's about to make a big reveal.
No,
Cyrus is about to completely change the plot of this game.
No, Vinny already asked to put their cards on the table, and he said no. So Cyrus is saying, why don't we go ahead and put our cards on the table now?
What cards are you wanting me to put on the table?
Well, what do you want from us?
I want you to do a simple package delivery. Oh, to either Stoheller or Degelduar, whichever you might choose. Don't open the package. Don't ask any questions.
Of course.
And no names.
Never. It's a long journey. What was the other one? Degelduar?
Mm-hmm.
How far is that away?
They're probably about equidistant, except Degelduar is under the Golfon Mountains. It's one of the Dwarven cities.
Okay.
I mean, Cyrus definitely knows where Stoheller is. Would he know where that is?
Degelduar? Yeah, I mean, it's common knowledge that it's somewhere within the mountains. Not a lot of people exactly know the exact positioning of the Dwarven cities, but you know it's probably not too far from where... You know, it would probably take about as much time to reach there as Stoheller. They're comparable.
Bells would just look at Alin and kind of wait to see what she says.
Well, gang.
But it's... I know you have business here before you could address such a favor. I'm not unreasonable. And he smiles this big, toothy smile.
Of course. One, in one form or another, I think it would mean a lot to me. And I know that I'm asking a lot of each of you. But it would mean a lot to me to repay this. Debt. It would certainly bring me a lot of comfort to know that Mokadas and I could mend the bridge, so to speak. What do you call it? I'm bad with...
Mend fences?
Timing, I know, being an issue, but...
I certainly don't have an issue, but we'll have to, you know, play that by ear when the time comes. You know, I have to evaluate some things, maybe make some reports. I certainly wouldn't stand in your way.
As for me, after our business in this town is concluded, I will probably be staying with my family for a little bit. So, all of you are welcome to go, but I probably won't go with you.
Well, if we have an accord, that would be most agreeable to me. Of course, none of you are needing to go on this besides, none of you need to go. But it would bring me great peace and happiness if you would do this for me, Venuthra.
Do we get to pick which location?
Of course.
Is it the same package either way, or just two different deliveries?
Well, either way, you shouldn't know because you shouldn't be opening the package.
You see his face go dark for a second, and then he smiles again.
Right. It doesn't matter. The question doesn't matter.
Yeah, I prefer not to go back to Stoheller if we can avoid that place.
That's fine. I've got contacts there. Degelduar it is.
It sounds more scenic.
Great.
I'm sorry, I looked caught up. We're going to the Dwarven cities?
Oh, yes, that's within the Golfell conglomerate.
So if we are expressing preferences now, I've always wanted to visit there. That would be most exciting.
Yeah, oh. I hear it's lovely this time of year, especially. What time of year is it?
It is.
Is it fall?
It is late summer. It's late almost summer.
It's also underground.
I thought it was in the mountains.
Are you pulling my leg?
Under
again?
The mountains. What's yeah, it's you? Lovely this time of year. That's what I've heard.
Are you yanking my chain again?
What chain are we talking about?
Pulling a prank on little old me because they don't exactly have seasons underground.
Oh, and Cyrus is going to pat him on the head and then reach behind his ear, cast minor illusion, and pull a chain out.
Mokadis is just watching, smiling, very interested in this ragtag group.
Anyway,
that's fine.
Bells would just kind of be withdrawing throughout all of this.
Well, Bells, do you have a preference?
No, I can't say that I do.
And so where does this leave us with our current mission, Sir Langley?
I think this means that thankfully we've now got a contact. If once you tell us where to find this, you didn't mention her name.
Oh, your contact.
Yes.
Yes. Her name is Alvena Lamb.
Alvena Lamb. And where can we find her?
She comes in around evening time. She might be out there even now.
Well, I would like to go speak to her at once.
Yes, let's not waste any time.
And remind me of the relationship. Intermediary, does she work for you or does she work for them?
She works for them. And pays me for the smuggling jobs.
And so, let's just be careful with that knowledge, knowing that if we press too hard and we show all of our cards up front, it's very likely we'll get shunned. We won't get very far.
Oh, and then Ellen realized something. Vinny, is there any way you could cast disguising magic on me?
Maybe.
Or, I don't.
I just have it.
Metagaming.
I could turn you invisible.
Okay. She would also ask Cyrus, because all magic's the same to her. Me, the player, knows that. Cyrus probably doesn't have a lot of spells of disguise, but Alin would definitely ask, any way you could disguise me somehow for this conversation, because she just realized that if we are actually tapping into Cartagialite connections, there was the the promised, the betrothal and everything that Langley, they would know who I was.
She's a well-known face.
Well, yeah. my disguises are somewhat limited. I can make an object that you are wearing, give off light. I could grease up your armor, make it a little more dingy. I could, I could help you to disguise your voice. I think I already loaned Remy my vacation shirt.
Well, I don't need to wear it. It is pretty stylish, but
okay. Well, here you can wear this shirt. It's a Hawaiian shirt with pineapples on it.
How about this? Remy's gonna take a scarf off. You could wrap this around your face, maybe shade it some, hide it some.
Master Silver Priest, do you think maybe you could make me invisible? Because all of my armor is emblazoned with the crest of my family.
Certainly.
In fact, we may already be...
Here, just put this on over your armor.
Are you putting a Hawaiian shirt on over plate mail?
It's not going to fit. Yeah.
No.
I don't think it's... It's not... Stop, you're hurting her arm.
And what about the crest of the Langleys on my boots. And, like, she points to the leather. Like, all of her attire has, like, the crest on it.
Okay.
You know what about this ball gown?
This is a pretty seedy sort of place. Do you excuse me, sir, and I'm going to turn to the Dragonborn.
Also just continually watching you guys, smiling.
The antics.
Yes. I realize this makes us maybe seem a little less prepared and professional, but do you happen to have any disguise materials and kits here? This does seem like the kind of place that might have those.
My boy, of course I do.
Just waiting.
I will need to disguise my hair as well, because there are not many maidens that have, and she points to, like, you guys know that her hair begins like this, like, pastel pelt rose gold that ends in, like, crimson at the ends. It's like, that has probably made its way to the Cartagia family, like, her physical appearance. So all of that needs to be concealed.
Okay. Well, let the master work. That'll be 5 gold.
He smiles.
Well, I'm just gonna hand it over.
All right, let me. And he kind of pulls open what looks to be a cupboard, and there are various types of clothing of various sizes and boots and gloves and whatnot. And he pulls out what looks to be a large, like, black cloak and a brown leather jerkin and whatnot, and says,
"Okay, this should probably fit you, and I will."
He kind of reaches up. There are several bottles, and within them are different powders of various grain and color. And he pulls out some dark black powder, shakes it up, and says,
"I'll get some hot water, and we'll take care of that hair."
And he goes into the back room for a second. If you want to change, it's going to be standard, probably like leather armor. You could probably do studded leather for
Sounds
this.
Good. Can I just give her my spare armor?
Yeah, you could give her your spare.
A scale mail.
Is scale mail? Okay, yeah. If you'd like to wear the scale mail.
You just put your other armor in the meat bag.
Yay, okay.
But you can change into the scale mail, and he'll eventually come back with a basin of hot water and pour the black powder into it and pull up a chair next to the table. And
That's say, so sad.
All right, lean your hair back.
That's so sad.
Well, it's removable.
Okay.
Lean your head back, and I will dye it.
All right.
He spends a good portion of time dyeing your hair. he's made a masterful disguise for you at this point, to the point that it looks almost like you're a different person. He ties your hair up in kind of a different, like, bun style to where it doesn't flow down. So kind of your shoulders have no, like, hair over it like you usually do. You've got scale mail and dark clothing. You look like you might fit in here at the Pardoning.
Wow.
Undercover now.
I don't know what I can do about those swords.
It's all right.
Just keep them under your cloak. You should be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell Alvain I say hey. Tell her payment's late again.
Right. Will, you have been most hospitable at no cost. Thank you for the food, the drink.
But of course,
and he holds out his hands in a manner of hug me.
And he goes in for a big, warm,
like,
hug.
Bear hugs you, pats you on the back, and holds you out at shoulder length and just says,
It's good to have you back, son.
And he squeezes your shoulder quite tightly and says,
I knew you'd make the right decision.
Oh.
Cyrus is going to open his arms and say, thank you, Mokadas.
But of course. And he holds his arms out real wide and hugs you, bear hugs you, pats you on the back, holds you out.
It was nice meeting you, Cyrus.
You too.
You're all welcome here at the Pardoning anytime.
Yay.
Well, let's
tuck this.
We'll be back soon. We've got a few loose ends to tie up. We'll talk shortly.
Sure.
All right, shall we?
I guess we shall.
He goes back to his, you see his liquor cabinet in the back. He pulls out what looks to be a large
oblong blue bottle of liquid, uncorks it, and starts to pour himself a glass of some unknown liqueur. Oh, nice. And you guys head out into the main chamber. As you're heading out and looking around, can I have a perception check for me from whoever is kind of looking around for Alvena?
It's probably not me.
Oh, 20 unnatural.
Ooh. 20 unnatural. Right away, you spot a new person in the bar. Looks like they're speaking with either Clorg or Uldren. You can't really tell. They're brothers, but they look pretty similar. But it is a woman in kind of a gossamer white nightgown with this dark hair, pale complexion, who's kind of shaking hands with him and then pats him on the back and walks out the door.
She fits the description of...
She does fit the description of the woman described in Urngal.
The mean lady.
I really hope that you guys said that aloud. The mean lady? Definitely.
No, Cyrus doesn't say that. He's probably saying something to Vinny like, you know, that Mokadis, he's strangely forthright about his unsavory dealings, but he's a good hugger. I see why you like him.
He is certainly charming.
Let's follow her. She's after her.
The mean lady?
Yeah.
So what's the plan? Should we just hang back and kind of tail her for a bit, or?
No, I want to go talk to her.
Well, of course you do. You have no bone in your body that has any subtlety about it.
Well, I just want to ask her.
Well, she's wearing a disguise.
Do we have time for subtlety, though? Aren't we in a bit of a hurry?
She's the cause of the disappearances. I thought that was exactly why we were here.
Yes. So we're going to go ask her about them.
We don't want to just find her. We want to make them stop.
Okay. So what is your suggestion?
Go talk to her.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay.
There we go.
As you go to...
I'm sure she's going to stop after we just, you know, tell her how bad it is to capture people, and maybe you should stop.
Okay, Venuthril, what is your plan?
This is an insane thing to do.
Thank you, Remy.
Roll persuasion and tell her to stop enslaving people.
Yes.
Can we stop slave trade on one good persuasion roll?
You'll have to try and find out.
Let's hit it, boys. Do slavery is no more.
She said she'd stop.
Let's see what my divination rolls are for today.
Stop it. Is your tooth okay?
It's fine.
Okay.
So you guys are headed after her?
Yes. I'm going after her.
I wouldn't follow Lynn, but I would watch her.
Okay, well, she...
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing.
I wouldn't go. I propose all of us go talk to her.
Okay,
but
well, Lynn, you follow after?
I
think we need a plan.
Lynn's
walking away.
Well, we got a plan.
No, stop, don't. Whatever.
Go, Frank. Get her.
So, Lynn, you start to walk towards where she was, and one of the hobgoblins waves at you as you're walking up.
Headed out.
Yes, I'm after that woman.
Who? Alvena?
Yes.
Oh, well. Better go on then.
He opens the door.
Yes. Pass the check.
And you walk into the hallway where you entered, and no sight of her.
No sight of her.
You guys were talking for a hot minute.
Well, I was going. I was walking towards her.
They were talking. All saying she
no.
was going.
No, she was
going.
Participating in the conversation.
No,
she wasn't.
This is precisely what I didn't want to happen. Oh my gosh.
No. Tyler, she actually was not participating in the conversation.
She was arguing with Vinny about it. She was like, no, we should go right
now.
Okay,
was it Lynn or
was like,
Rachel?
Yeah, she did that very early in the thing.
Yeah.
It was everybody else.
Yes, okay. I would not have
let
that much time pass.
It's
my character's going after her.
It's 10 seconds to get to the door, right?
Yeah. Well,
and you probably spent 5 to 10 seconds talking.
Okay, I wouldn't have argued with him that long. I'm going after her. I wouldn't have let her get away.
Then
I wouldn't have let her get away.
15 seconds go by, the door opens, and she's not there.
Okay, so I'm just going to hurry. I'm going to start running, and I'm going to start looking for her.
Okay, make a perception check, unless you're taking some time to look for her.
If Lynn's moving fast, I'm moving fast. I'll help look.
19.
Okay. 19 for perception?
Yeah.
You start to sprint down the chamber and see that off to the side, there are kind of scuff marks in the ground where someone has been walking that stop abruptly and turn right into the wall.
Okay. So I'm going to go there.
It is a wall.
We all catch up to her. If she stops at the wall, we catch up to her.
Okay.
I'm going to feel around on the wall, see if there's like a secret.
Okay. Make an investigation check as you guys kind of.
Here, let me guide you.
I'm puffing up behind.
May your eyes appeal. Give her guidance.
So that is a D4?
Yep.
D4 plus 11 is going to be 14.
Okay. You start to feel around on the wall and do feel kind of like this weird, like almost like there's a crevice in the rock where you can hook your fingers around and you pull and it latch comes undone and a door swings open.
Nice. Man, I'm so good at crime.
And you see just turning down at the end of the hallway of this other carved hallway is Alvana, who turns around the side of the corner.
I'm sprinting.
Okay.
I'm going to use all my movement.
Yeah, okay. And we all are running. I'm running. I'm running with her.
As you turn the corner, you see Alvana now slightly jogging as she heard you run up and then starts running more.
Oh my gosh.
I cast Grease.
What's the range on Grease?
I think it's 60 feet.
It's not going to reach.
We're not there yet.
No. What?
No.
Okay, hold your action.
Okay, I'm holding my action then.
Are we going into initiative for a chase?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, 60 Wait, feet.
Do we have to go into initiative for a chase? She was right there.
Well, if
how did
Cyrus
she get more than 60 feet in front of us?
She was walking and Lynn was running behind her. But she opened up the thing. It took Lynn a second to investigate the door.
I wanted to talk to this person, and somehow she's like just out of bounds, out of reach. I'm actually angry.
She opened the door. It took you a hot second to open
the
door.
I know the logistics. I know the logistics of how long we spent saying, no, don't do it, don't do it, Lynn. But I was doing it. I'm doing it. I'm running after her. And if we have to go through some chase mechanic, fine. Let's just roll and do the whatever it takes to talk to this person.
Okay, let's just make general athletics checks to see if you guys can catch up to her.
Roll athletic.
All of us?
Yeah, we don't need to do a chase.
All of us?
23.
Yeah, all of you.
Dang.
17. Can I make a case?
18.
I have an interesting thing. I have a very high movement speed, but a very low athletics.
I'll give you advantage.
Okay, that translates.
Yeah, you're a monk. You're speedy. Are you leaving the party behind? If you're leaving the party behind, you can catch up to her pretty quick.
I have 5 feet of movement more than everybody else. No, I got 40 feet of walking, actually. Okay, so I am a little bit faster than everybody. I will do my best to get to this person.
Okay. So.
And I rolled an 18.
I rolled an 18.
Okay.
Dang.
If I get in 60 feet, I'm casting Grease on her.
Okay.
I rolled a 7.
Okay.
I rolled a 13.
13. You guys start to sprint after her through these twisting tunnels, branching off in different directions, but you seem to keep a pretty good, tight direction of which way she's going. Remy, you boost up ahead of the group. Turning a corner at one point, you're the only one to see the woman looking back, still running, suddenly just poof into smoke, nothingness.
Dang it! What?
The rest of you catch up as Remy, there is still some smoke hovering on the ground. I'm sorry?
She poofed into smoke. Up there. And I'm going to go up to where she poofed into smoke and see if I can find any evidence.
There's still smoke kind of formed on the ground.
So we just keep... I would keep running. I would
become gas spell.
We keep running. Or Vinny just keeps...
I would follow Vinny. If Vinny keeps running, I would follow him.
Okay, so... three of you stop at the smoke, and Vinny and Bells have kept running on.
Yeah, it keeps going up. Because
if the hallway continues...
It does continue. It looks like it continues into kind of a little bit of a sewer.
All right, so I'm going to take a beat here. I'm going to take a beat here and see if I can see if there's more secret passages.
Okay, make an investigation check. As you guys are stopping to investigate, Vinny and Bells, you keep on running for a good 3 minutes or so into this sewer system that eventually opens up into this watery cavern. And you see Alvena actually opening a door on the far side of the cavern and going through.
I would very quickly reach out and cast invisibility on the both of us.
Okay.
And we would try and like follow her or slide in to the door.
Mm-hmm. Stealth checks for me.
Yeah.
Oh jeez.
While we're doing stealth checks, we'll get to investigation, as you're probably at the end of your investigation right now.
I can tell you that I failed my investigation, so I did not find any switches.
Okay. What was your investigation?
4.
Okay.
Bad.
You insinuate nothing from this situation.
You get advantage at least.
No, I get. Oh, I usually roll at disadvantage. My first roll was 20.
You actually have disadvantage, yeah.
Right.
She gets a flat roll, so she gets her first roll.
Which was 20.
Okay, cool.
Oh, because of invisibility.
Yeah.
Okay. As you guys are going to sneak in the door.
What was your roll?
It was 23.
What are you doing as your investigation comes to an end, Remy?
I'm going to go after them. I mean...
Okay, you guys are following after now?
Yeah, I'm going to go try to follow after
them. If we're not seeing anything into this hallway, then yeah.
Okay. Bells and Vinny, you open the doors into a large mausoleum, it looks like. Empty, except for a large dais raised up. And with on the dais, a platform.
I'm going to take out my bow and arrow and just ready it for stuff.
Okay. You see Alvena walking up one of the ramps and going up to maybe one of the grave-like stones. And it's one of the big, you know, ones that sit above ground. And she sits on it and looks like she's picks up a doll of some sort and starts playing with it. You can hear vaguely her like talking for the doll, like she would an action figure, you know.
Okay, then if she doesn't seem hostile and she stopped, I would creep within earshot.
Okay,
maintaining invisibility,
just listening in on her,
and just listening.
Just let you hear. Oh, I'll get you, you nasty! I'll get you. And then she moves another doll up. Oh no! Don't you get me? And that goes on for a while.
No, no, don't you get me?
Just like random, like playing with dolls.
Oh, if only Cyrus and Ralphie were there.
I know.
We could join in the fun.
It seems a little bit childlike for an adult to be doing this.
So, what Vinny would do then is creep up behind her.
Okay.
And then,
That's going to be, you're going to have to go up onto the dais. Okay. There's a ramp system that goes up on it. She's above you currently.
Okay.
So you'll have to start going up the ramp. And you'll have to try and circle around her to get behind her.
While invisible.
Yes.
That's fine.
I don't know if I could do that, but if you feel like
you can start to do that. Yeah.
The goal is to sneak up behind her and restrain her.
Okay.
Mm.
Or not restrain her. I should say he would take a more diplomatic approach if he could. Is there a way that he feels like he can get in the way of her leaving? Like between her and the ramp?
The entrance was between the ramp and her. Like you were already blocking her when you came in.
Okay.
From the entrance that you came in.
Is there, like, can she, like, leave and just...
But yeah,
make a perception check to see if you can see other entrances or exits.
Okay.
And I guess my thought is that if she's up on a thing,
mm-hmm.
then my goal would be to
block her from being on the thing. Yeah, there are two ramps on either side.
Oh, okay. So there's not really a possibility.
I mean, Bells could go up to the other side.
Well, if I stay on one and you go
around. Yeah. So, gosh, it's so creepy to take people hostage. So,
I mean,
I would say, Bells, you go up the other ramp. I'll go up this ramp. And then we'll drop our invisibility and accost her.
Accost her? What do you mean?
In diplomatic means. Don't.
Accost her diplomatically.
Yes.
I call it aggressive negotiation.
I don't want to frighten her. She seems a bit like a child. So I think we should block the exits and try and reason with her. And if we have to, then I can cast Hold Person.
Okay. Shall I put away my weapons?
Yes. I don't think that's necessary.
Okay, I would.
Okay.
I'd listen to him.
Okay, so you guys start to sneak up either side of the ramp. As you guys are sneaking up, the three of you arrive at the cavern opening, and you see a door, a double set of double doors, slightly ajar on the other side of the cavern.
Well, why don't we go through those double doors?
Yes.
Before we do, Alen, this might come in handy. And Cyrus is going to put his hand on Alen and cast Jump.
Ooh. Okay.
Are you guys going in stealthily, or are you going in...
By the way, that's not metagaming. I was already planning to do that before the whole thing with the...
I know. You love your jump spells.
Okay, yeah, but for the listener, I was already planning on doing this. It's a great spell. I love casting that spell on a Len, especially.
Yes, because I have my plunging attack.
Plunge!
Yeah, that's how we killed the Quaddle.
You guys
I've got two long swords. We'll
silently?
They're wasted if you don't jump in the air and go,
Yes, silently.
Okay, make stealth checks, please.
Ooh, okay.
Hayden, you got your stealth check ready?
Oh, I didn't even... I apologize. Give me just a moment. It's going to be a 25, nat 20 plus 5.
Okay.
So my stealth roll is 5, so probably as I'm going in, I get a splinter, and I'm like, ah, jeez.
Cool. Alen?
I have a disadvantage, so the person's 4.
No, why do you have disadvantage?
Heavy armor, or medium armor.
Oh, is the splint mail is...
It's scale,
yeah.
Scale
mails,
yeah.
4 and 7.
4 and 7, okay. So 4. So you guys... attempting stealth, make your way to the door and come in to see Alvena sitting atop that gravestone looking down at you. You guys are moving into position as she's got both the dolls and she looks down at them and says to the dolls,
looks like we have weird visitors. It's okay, I'll talk to them.
And sets them down and stands up and walks over to the edge. You guys can make your way behind her now if you'd like.
Sure. If we notice that's happening, I'm not saying we're dropping invisibility at this point.
Okay.
So I'll
stand by. I would ready my net to just kind of throw at her. Just
forgot about the net.
Mm-hmm. I would just have that handy in case she tries to run away. I would throw it at her,
chasing her around with a giant butterfly net.
Yes, you gotta have a jar to put her in.
She walks slowly to the edge, the dolls in hand, cocks her head slowly.
Ooh.
Hello.
Why did you run?
I did not run. Who are you? What do you do here?
I'm Sarah Skrimalkin.
And this is Ralphie.
Oh, there it is.
All right. At this point, we. No, I'm just going to wait and see what happens.
Can't say we. You can't coordinate with an invisible person.
Well, I would say. No. But I can drop our invisibility.
Sure, mm-hmm. You can.
I can't do that yet. I'm not going to do that yet. I'm waiting to see what happens.
Cyrus Grey-Malkin. Pleasure to meet you.
You're the mean lady. Sorry.
two most subtle characters at the door.
And I'm Mandy.
Hi, Mandy. Would you like to play dolls?
No, but...
Yes, absolutely. You might say playing dolls is all I do.
Oh, good. I've been so bored. Come, come.
Gosh, it's taking everything in Vinny's power to bite his tongue.
We had such a good plan.
What is your name?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm Marguerite.
I knew it! I knew it! She's, like, insane! Okay, or, like, she doesn't know her own name. She's not herself. So, trying to talk
is
to her.
Is this the same person?
Make a perception check?
Ooh.
I believe that is a 14. No, 12.
12? This is the same person that fled.
And we thought it was the person that Mokata said. We thought it was, what was her name again?
Alvena.
Alvena.
Alvena. Mm-hmm. My name's Marguerite.
So she looks like Alvena. She looks like...
She fits the description.
Okay.
You just saw her.
Formulation, and then Ellen holds her finger up. What if this is the way that the Cartagians have been conducting their slave trade? Body switching. You know, that's actually ingenious. Swapping souls around.
And you then know you the Cartagians?
Do you, Marguerite?
Oh, yes.
You're not a child?
No.
In
I'm
an
not
adult
a child.
Body?
No, no.
Okay. Well, do you know them?
Uh-huh, I do.
How do you know them?
Come, play dolls.
You know what, Cyrus? This may be your area.
Are you or are you not, or have you ever been, the mean lady?
I really have no idea what you're talking about.
Just answer the question.
Answer the question.
Stop it! Stop!
I'm going to make Ralphie's one eye gleam.
Visibly upset as you're getting a little more aggressive in your conversation.
Cyrus, I don't know if this is the way to play dolls.
It's called play therapy, and you work out your issues as you play.
Right now it's like two separate people working out their separate issues.
Yeah, what's Remy doing this whole time?
I mean, he was gonna stand back and let this play out by the more experienced, knowledgeable people, but
they are not.
Yeah, they are doing their own routine.
She's visibly distressed and backing up now as you've kind of gotten aggressive in tone.
Maybe try a softer tact, like actually playing dolls.
Don't
have you ever played dolls, Cyrus?
Don't make me mad.
I know you're basically 100, but have you ever done it when you were... have you ever done it when you were a child, a century ago?
How old do you think I am?
Ellen's going to take Ralphie. And she looks like she really doesn't want to take Ralphie. But she like sets Ralphie down and is like, hello, my name's Jean-Claude.
Are you guys still down below the dais?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. One second. I need to look at something real quick.
That was the most upsetting thing that I think I've heard in this game.
What?
Hello, my name's Jean-Claude.
Okay. She kind of smiles and slowly holds up one of the dolls.
Hi, I'm Alvena. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Alvena. Would you like to have a cup of tea with me?
Oh, I love tea.
And as you're playing dolls,
yes.
The three of you, can I have roll a d4 and tell me what you get? If you have a matching number, someone re-roll.
Which three?
The three of you down below.
Okay.
Okay.
I got a 4.
So okay.
Down below. Oh.
Wait, each of us rolls a d4?
Uh-huh. Down
below. 2.
I got a 4.
I got a 2. So I guess I'll re-roll.
Okay.
Then he forgetting, he's not forgetting, but he like looks, I guess he can't see you.
Yeah.
1?
Wait, are we trying to all get the
Would
same number?
Would you do
number?
It anyway?
I'm trying to get different numbers.
Different numbers. So we got a 1, okay. a 2, and a 4, correct?
Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's see here. Yeah. So from behind Cyrus.
Uh-oh.
You feel 2 like claws rip across your back, dealing 22 points of damage to you.
Oh.
And you are grappled.
And I'm grappled.
Oh, I'm sorry. Instead of dealing damage on one of these, it's going to grapple you. So, subtract 10 damage from that.
Okay.
As you see behind the two of you, next to Cyrus, see the mist suddenly coalesce. It had kind of drifted out into the chamber slowly behind you. None of you had a high enough passive to notice, and it coalesces into an exact version of Marguerite, Alvena, whoever it is, who then kind of rakes the side of Cyrus, and you see blood spray, and then she grabs him and holds him. And that's where we're going to end tonight's episode.
Oh, no!
This is the Halloween episode.
Ooh, that is.